Chapter 7, The King and the Ruler.
"Oh, yeah, of course," whispered Jack. He'd forgotten all about Teddy and Kathleen's book of magic rhymes.
Jack pulled the book out of his backpack. He and Annie studied the table of contents.
"Stand on water," said Annie. "Make a stone come alive. Make metal soft. Turn into ducks. Fly through the air. That's it."
"No," said Jack. "Go back. To make a stone come alive."
"Why?" said Annie.
"Because the lion's supposed to carry us," said Jack, "and he already has wings, but he's made a stone, so what we need to do is make him come alive."
"Oh, right," said Annie.
"But then what?" said Jack. "Where will we go?"
"Merlin's letter said an angel of gold would show us the way, remember?" said Annie.
"Angel of gold," said Jack. "Where are we going to find that? And how will we find Neptune? How will he help us save Venice?"
"Patience," said Annie. "If we need more magic, we'll go back to the book."
"Okay, but let's hurry," said Jack.
He opened Teddy and Kathleen's book to the second rhyme. He took a deep breath. He looked down at the lion on the ledge. Then he read in a loud, clear voice.
"Stone so silent, cold and hard, come mada lie, come mada scarred."
A cracking sound seemed to come from deep within the lion's body. As Jack and Annie peered down at the statue, the lion's stone mane ruffled into a mass of shaggy fur. His stone back softened into a sleek golden coat. His stone wings stretched into long, luminous feathers.
"Wow," breathed Annie.
Jack couldn't speak. Before their eyes, the statue had turned into a living lion with magnificent golden wings. The lion shook his mane and yawned. He had huge, sharp teeth and a long pink tongue. His ears twitched. His tufted tail swayed back and forth. The lion crouched and leapt off the ledge like a cat. He spread his wings and caught a strong current of wind. His wings flapped and he began circling above the square.
"Here, here,"
Annie shouted. She waved wildly. The winged lion turned and flew back toward the tower. He glided silently onto the terrace, landing just a few feet away from Jack and Annie. He stared at them with his golden eyes.
"You have to help us save Venice from a flood disaster," Jack said.
"Can you carry us to Neptune?" said Annie.
The lion padded toward them. He kept staring straight at them. He tilted his tremendous head and let out a long growl as if he was trying to answer.
"We have to climb on your back," said Jack.
"I hope we won't hurt you," said Annie.
The lion let out another growl, but he didn't sound angry. He sounded as if he was telling them to hurry. He crouched down so they could climb on.
"I'll go first," Jack said to Annie. "I'll hold on to his mane and you hold on to me."
Jack slipped off his backpack and dropped it onto the terrace.
"Take the book of rhymes," said Annie.
"Got it," said Jack.
He tucked the book under his arm and carefully climbed onto the lion's back. Annie climbed on behind Jack and wrapped her arms tightly around his waist. Jack twisted his fingers into the lion's mane. The mane felt surprisingly soft.
"Okay, we're ready," said Jack.
The lion stood up. He trembled slightly, then he leapt off the terrace.
"Ah!"
Jack yelled. The rhyme book slipped from under his arm and fell down into the flooded square below.
"Oh no, our book!" cried Jack.
"Hang on!" cried Annie.
The lion flapped his great wings and rose through the sky. Jack pressed his knees into the lion's warm back and clung to his mane. The lion flew toward the fireworks. A shower of red sparks was opening like an umbrella. Booms and whistles filled the night. Fiery bits rained down through the darkness, whistling into the canal.
"Help! We're heading straight into the fireworks!" cried Annie.
The lion dipped and turned away from the fireworks. The red showers gave way to bursts of blue and green.
"Which way do we go?" shouted Annie.
As the lion flew back toward the square, Jack saw the gold weather vane on top of the watchtower. It was in the shape of an angel.
"The angel of gold!" shouted Jack.